Hello and welcome back to another episode of Holochat. I'm Bobby.
And I'm Rachel. And today we are going to put KQ on trial.
Yes, it's time.
For the crimes that they've committed against us specifically. Yes. Not the crimes that people are currently complaining about.
These are KQ's actual crimes, not the fake ones, the real ones.
And we're going to use my training as a lawyer to do it. Not really.
And we're going to use my experience of being on a jury exactly one time to do it too.
We're experts in this field.
Yes, we are ready to do this.
Okay, so we have broken their crimes down into three major crime sections that we are going to talk about.
Yes.
As a way to really explore all the wrong that they have done and all of the pain that they have caused.
Our first charge against KQ.
Not understanding their clientele and not taking appropriate action to cater to them. So we have a couple of points on this, but first we should identify who their clientele is.
Right.
Which is, you know, mostly international.
Yes.
They do have a domestic fan base, but for the most part, their success is international. So that is where most of our crimes come from. The first one is specific to me probably as a GOM, but also to other people that want to order AT's merch.
Yeah. Well, anybody who's ordered from a GOM has been affected by this as well.
Oh, that's true.
Indirectly,
their whole shipping scene is abysmal.
By there, you're talking specifically about Tok Tok Shop.
I am talking about KQ Shop. I'm also talking about KQ. So I started ordering, the first thing I ever ordered from Korea was KQ Shop. And it's not actually as bad as some people make it out to be. KQ Shop, if you're ordering to America, it defaults to DHL on their website, but you can change it and the shipping becomes a lot cheaper. However, KQ Shop uses boxes that are made out of tissue paper. They are so thin. Every single box that I have gotten from KQ Shop has been just destroyed by the time it made it to my house in America. And that is their, like, shipping supplies. Like, that is directly on whatever they're doing in the warehouse. Their shipping supplies is bad. We have another friend who, her box came, they don't protect the PCs at all when they ship. Most places do, KQ doesn't. And they sent her box, and the PCs had fallen out of it. So just, she didn't get them. And so she complained, and they said, well, they were there when we packaged them. Which is cool. like that's great. The point. You didn't package them well. And so they didn't give them to her. And I have even more proof of this. One of my first orders from KQ Shop, I won a signed Polaroid. Do you know where I found that Polaroid?
Well, I mean, at this point, I'm just pleased that you found it.
So am I, because it was at the bottom of the box. I was breaking the box apart, and it fell out. Like, it could have fallen out anywhere between here and, like, South Korea. Like, it was in there so poorly, and I'm glad I have that Polaroid. Like, I'm glad it came, but it's certainly through dumb luck as opposed to, like, KQ's actual shipping practices. So everything about KQ Shop, they have left items out of my order before. They won't respond to customer service at all. I sent several messages. They didn't respond. I eventually gave up. I'll just never have that shirt, and that is what it is. But now, because their boxes are so bad, because I've had so many problems with KQ Shop, I do, even though I can ship it directly to the US for pretty cheap, I just send it to my Korean address because I don't trust the boxes. I don't trust they'll send everything. I don't trust they'll respond to me, a non-Korean speaker. So the KQ Shop is also bad, but so is Tok Tok. Tok Tok is horrible. And I just feel like if you're going to cater to a largely international audience, you should be able, you should have some sort of standardized international shipping that you have figured out.
I mean, like, we know that it's not, like, actual KQ employees shipping them out from the KQ Entertainment building, but the people that they have obviously subcontracted to handle this
that's part of the problem that we'll see repeatedly is that KQ doesn't know how to make partnerships. And I almost put that as one of their crimes, but I'm not sure it's their fault because they're a small company and, you know, they're not going to have the big distribution. But it does feel like they could find someone better. Like, we have to suffer through Hello 82, the water bomb disaster, which I did predict would continue to be a disaster and was, in fact, canceled, like, a couple days later. The Immortal Songs, like, they just don't make good partnerships.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I guess I'm the one defending KQ. I guess that's my job. To be fair, what you have brought up before is that there wasn't a reason for KQ to think that, you know, working with KBS on a show would be bad.
That's true.
It's not specifically the partnership with KBS, but probably who KBS partnered with to pull that whole thing off. And then the same thing for Water Bomb. They've done a Water Bomb before that was massively successful. So why would they assume that just doing a water bomb in a different country would be different? Well, apparently it's because everybody who's planning things for the U.S. is a big, dumb, stupid idiot.
But I do think they've had an international fan base long enough that they should be able to find partners who would and can fulfill international orders. They have made some progress. Soundwave, they're working with Soundwave, who can basically fulfill international orders. And also Yes 24 for the birthday merch. Both of those can ship internationally without a lot of stress. I just don't understand why they can't get that with KQ Shop and Tok Tok Shop.
I'm also, why do we have both?
Yeah, I agree so strongly. There's no reason to have both. And it's confusing. Like, people don't know where things are going to be. So, again, not understanding their clientele, like, just put everything in one spot. They tried. Like, they got rid of Fan Cafe, which was good. I know that domestic fans didn't like that when they got rid of it. The K-teenies didn't like them getting rid of it because it was small. But here's the thing about Fan Cafe. It was so hard to get into.
I could never figure it out.
I spent hours. Like, I think hours is an underestimate. It might have been, like, multiple hours across multiple days trying to get into Fan Cafe. And then once I did, I tried to, like, help Cassandra get in. And I couldn't, like, remember how to do it. like, I got in accidentally through sheer dumb luck. So I think, you know, getting rid of that was good. And then they were like, okay, we're going to put everything in one spot. We're going to have everything on Tok Tok. You're going to be able to buy things. You're going to be able to do all this other stuff. And then they, like, didn't actually do it, you know? They started doing that, but then they got that contract with From to move privating messages over to From. So now we don't do that on Tok Tok anymore. And they were releasing stuff on the Tok Tok shop, but then they kept releasing other stuff on KQ Shop, and it was never made clear, like, why some was released here. I think even the summer photo books came out on KQ Shop instead of Tok Tok.
Like the most recent ones?
I think so.
See, I'm willing to forgive a lot of things because they are a small company. Like, for From, that's a contractual thing. They're getting some sort of benefit out of that. Whatever that is that they are getting out of it. I don't think they just do it randomly. But just not having everything organized, I can't. I'm sorry. Even a small company can have organization. It's not impossible. Yes.
Even the Tok Tok site, like if you try to do a, I don't even remember what they call, but like a customer service inquiry, it's so hard to find how you're supposed to do that. Like, they don't just have a button that's like, contact customer service. Like, you have to go to frequently asked questions and then scroll down. And, like, that's not a frequently asked question. I mean, I guess it is. How do I contact customer service?
But it should be right there.
Right. It should be its own section, like, contact customer service. I shouldn't have had to have gone to the frequently asked questions to find a special button that will open the thing. And that's the only way you can get to it. There's no other way.
Like, somebody once told me somewhere that Koreans really like it when, like, websites are complicated. Like, that's why Fan Cafe was the way that it was. Because for some reason, they enjoy the complicated websites.
That's an incredible tidbit, if true. I can't imagine any, like, I get so frustrated on a website that doesn't run, you know, I would say, right, like, if this doesn't run correctly, then mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with it.
Like, I used to get kind of irritated just being on K-Town for you, like, trying to figure out what was going on there. And K-Town's, like, one of the easiest ones to figure out, I assume, because that was, like, the one that I used to buy everything from before I started buying all the things. Well, before Hello 82. But, I don't know if that's true. That's just what somebody told me, but I see evidence of it all the time.
Well, I have noticed, like, Makestar used to be a real website, and now it's just a phone-based website. So even if you're on your computer, it's like a skinny little...
I think K-Town for you is,
K-Town did it, too. And I'm just like, well, does no one use a real computer over there? like, I don't understand why you would want this. I mean, yeah, optimize your website. Anyways, we're getting off to different companies who are also bad. But anyways, back to KQ's crimes. So the other thing there are several other things on our list, but I know one of the things that really upset both of us is that they did not make the Teasmon available to us and continue to not make the Teasmon available to us in any significant way.
Here's the thing about this. And I know that this was actually something that a lot of H&Es complained about at first, but they made this whole series of them making the Teasmons, teasing the Teasmons. They gave it English subtitles, which suggest that they wanted the international fans to be able to, you know, be part of this. So there's this big, like, you know, drum roll for, oh, we're going to be releasing this new thing, and oh, and they're going to be available to H&Es, and we're all like, yay. And then they go, and they are only available in Korea and Japan. Were they available in Korea, or was it just Japan?
It was Korea at first. And then, so it wasn't even Japan at first. It was Korea first, and then Japan. And since then, they've only been available in Japan.
So I'm like, why? Okay.
I assume that this was also a contractual thing with a perhaps Japanese manufacturer. And that it was always meant to be like a Japanese thing. But as you say, they provided us the subtitles on these things. It was posted about on like the main, like, a lot of Japan stuff is stuff that we can't get.
Right.
And they don't post about it on their main Twitter.
Yeah, they only post about it on the Japanese Twitter.
But this was different. This seemed like it would be a thing for everyone. And they did have a single pop-up for Korean Atini in Korea. None of it was sold online.
No.
Ever. So it was in person, a pop-up, and everything sold out. Like, I think they did hold stock, but everything, it was like the Hello 82 concerts, right? Okay. Like, it was bad. Like, they had very little stock, and it sold out immediately, and they were like, yeah, we're gonna restock it every day, but then, like, it got less and less stock, so... I don't think they had enough for K-Teenie either.
It just baffles me.
But that's the crazy part to me. And it kind of, like, gets into one of my other points is that it took them so long to release these kind of characters. And I have been wanting a character for them for a really long time. And I think most of the bigger company groups do get their characters. Like, they make a character very quickly because that is type of merch that sells. Like, you make a character, you put that character out there fast, and your fans are going to buy that merch. So, I was so excited when the Teasmon came around, because I was like, finally, we have these characters. Like, I like to draw, so I was like, I can draw these characters, these resemblances, this is great, it's perfect. And then to, like, bar me from them.
After, like, teasing them in such an obvious and blatant way, and then be like, oh, not for you. This is only for these, the K's and the J's. This is not for the eyes at all. So that, it just feels like they just consistently don't understand. I know that Daddy Sean said in his article, that whatever that recent one that he was that he did, he talked about how you have to understand your international audience. And yeah, Sean, you do. This is what we're saying.
Please. And but that was the thing. They released Teasmon and we're like, oh, they've got these characters now. And then they never did anything else with it either. Which is crazy. They just left them there. And then it took them a whole, I think, another year to release the Anatees. And I appreciate that they have made the Anatees about as available as they can in the United States. They've partnered with Soundwave. They have gotten into Hello 82. They gave us those, you know, things they know about America, Anatees, that we love America and we like food. So, you know, Uncle Sam, Jung Bear. So, you know, I, like, they have rolled out the Anatees in a way that does involve us. And perhaps they learned from Teasmon.
I had wondered if Teasmon was just sort of like a trial run for what would it be like to do like a whole plushy thing. But if that was always the plan, they could have made it clear from the start, hey, internationals, this is not about you. So that we didn't get excited about something that we were not going to have access to.
And it's still like these... The Teasmon are still a thing that are regularly sold, though, but only in Japan. So they're very specifically a Japanese thing now. And, you know, every couple of months they'll release new Teasmon stuff that I still cannot easily get. And I guess it's fine that it's Japanese only, but I'm still so bitter about how it was rolled out. Like, I think if it had been, if Anatees had come out first and Teasmon came out later, like, yeah, I would still want the Teasmon, but it wouldn't be such a, like, bitter hurt, you know? Yeah.
It's just, they tend to do that, where they really hit us where it hurts the most, we international stands. That's foreshadowing, by
the way. The other thing that I have on here is the bouncy summer travel thing, which is how I wrote it.
Okay. Well, Bobby, this is something I remembered it after she explained to me what it was, but I had just blocked it from my memory entirely. I was like, got nothing to do with me. Nothing to see here.
It came out during Bouncy, obviously, and it was part of the promotions for Bouncy, which had, if you'll remember correctly, been very catered towards K-Teenie. Yes. There was a lot of the Bouncy promotion that we were not allowed to participate in. And I was understanding of that because a lot of the promotion, it didn't make sense for them to do it here. Like, they had built a saloon for the pop-up, which was very cool. It kind of, you know, went with Mingi's scene. They had this, like, stamp event where you could go all over different stores in Korea and get these special PCs that were really nice. And I think they had this, like, special wine glass PC, which I did end up getting eventually. But all of this stuff was stuff that we could not get at the time. So, you know, K-Teenies are getting to go on these, like, fun scavenger hunts and get all of this merch. And, like, we're not getting anything. And they had the trucks. This was when they were doing the trucks. So K-Teenies were out and, like, you know, they could see the pepper trucks driving around.
They had the bus.
Yeah. The bus. And I think they even had a couple of, like, photoism events where you could go print out photos. So there was all of these, like, different things being done in Korea that it made sense that they couldn't do them here. It sucked, but I was, like, very understanding of it. And then it felt like they were, you know, offering this olive branch. They announced this summer travel package. So if you were an international fan, you could, I think it was really reasonably priced, honestly. It was, like, somewhere between $1,200 and $1,600, and it was, like, three nights in a hotel. You got a ticket to the showcase they were going to do. you
which got, is the like, only a, place they've ever done Outlaw, and that would have been amazing,
right? And then you got a ticket to, or not a ticket, but you got a one-on-one dance class with a BB Trippin dancer, which would have just been like, I mean, I don't want BB Turpin to see me dance, like, that's, but it would have been so cool. It would have been, like, such a special thing. Mm-hmm. And so I, like, really considered doing it, but I was, like, the ticket to fly to Korea, because it wasn't announced when the comeback was announced. It was announced, like, 3 weeks before the comeback was to happen. So it was, like, well after the announcement of the comeback, and just not enough time to, like, coordinate buying a plane ticket to get out there. And, like, you know, I think they did offer travel from the airport to the hotel that they were putting you up in, but just, like, going out to Korea without ever being there before, it felt very overwhelming to do with, like, 3 weeks notice.
Yeah.
And so I had talked to my husband about it, because, like, I also wanted to bring him, and it was, like, this would cost us so much money to do right now, but if we saved up, they're going to do this again, obviously, yeah, because if they've done it once, they're going to do it again, so we can just do it the next time. And guess what? Mm. They never did it again. So this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where I could have had a BB Trippin person teach me to dance, and it didn't happen.
I feel like one of the reasons that I completely forgot that that happened was not only because I immediately was like, well, no, not me, but also because I don't know that I remember anybody talking of, like, anybody who did it. I don't remember them posting about it. I don't remember seeing anybody talking about dance lessons with BB Trippin. I don't remember any, like, footage from the showcase that got spread around. Like, it wasn't something that was big enough on Twitter that it made it onto my timeline, which makes me wonder, like, how many people even did that?
I have seen pictures. I think it was about 40 to 50 people. Mm. But we kind of talked about this before, you know, it's a lot easier for, so it was only open for international fans, but international fans meant people not living in Korea. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier for a Japanese 18E to fly over to Korea for 3 days. Like, that's not hard to do. I mean, obviously it's hard, but not like flying from North or South America. Mm-hmm. Even European 18Es could get out there easier. So those were the majority of people that came. And then it was just, like, the richest of the rich people who can take off for, you know, take off work for 6-ish days with 3 weeks notice, which is not something that a lot of people can do. I could have done that one because it was in the summer, but that was basically the only reason. And then who could drop that much money on a plane ticket? And, you know, like, if you're buying a plane ticket 3 weeks out, it's much more expensive than if you've, like, bought it several months in advance. Mm-hmm. So those plane tickets were expensive at this time. So I think, you know, that's why we didn't hear about it, because it wasn't something, like, a lot of things in K-pop cost money, but they cost money in a way that, you know, people do have kind of laying around, or they can put it on credit cards, or they can, you know, can get that money. Not this one. Like, this one was for, like, the, especially if you were in North or South America, anywhere. Like, I think it was cheaper for European 18Es, but again, this was, like, one of those things that it was, like, if they knew they were going to do this, and you have a mostly international audience, and you are, like, and that includes a lot of North America, like, they're so big in North America, like, why wouldn't you announce this on the day, right? Like, the very
day you announced that date, you should have announced this.
And so it is just, like, it's nice that they tried to include international audiences, but again, they're just not, like, taking that step to, like, actually cater to them. And my final point was Work Part 4 is bad, and they which I think was for us, which is crazy. Like, for that song to come out on the heels of Daddy CEO saying that you have to understand your international audience so that you don't offend them is really just, like, what happened? What went wrong?
What went wrong? I just don't know. I just don't know. I can't fathom it.
I know we both think that it was a contractual thing, mm-hmm. and that's fine and good, but it's not good, but that's fine. I get it. They've got themselves into a contract. They can't get out of it. Here's the kicker. They've put it on this Golden Hour Live, and now I bought it. Like, I wanted to never put any money towards Warped Part 4, and I understand that I'm putting money towards a lot of things with this album because the album has other things, so only a small portion is going to Warped Part 4, but I wanted to put $0 towards Warped Part 4, and I have not because I have bought this stupid thing.
So here's the thing. I'm not taking full credit for this, but if you did listen to our predictions episode, one of the last things that I say in that episode mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. that I would like a live concert album.
Mm-hmm.
And to be clear, I never said anything about wanting remixes. I didn't realize that I was, making a deal with the devil at the time. Mm-hmm. I thought I was just asking for something nice that everybody would enjoy.
And I would have enjoyed it.
And I do, I find it so sad that I have asked for concert from specifically mm-hmm. so many, 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 many times.
Yep.
And they refused to give it to me. But
here's the other thing. Halazia's not on it.
I know. Not Halazia and no work because they use the one from Seoul. Like, recording instruments just don't work anywhere outside of that city, apparently.
So we got all the things you wanted, except not in the way that we wanted them, even a little bit.
No. It's always something. You know, you get the tour beanie, but Jungo refuses to wear it.
He really did refuse to wear that.
He said, "No, thank you. It is too hot, and I'm mad about it." Mm-hmm. All right, so let's move on to our second accusation.
Okay, this is related to the first, honestly. Mm-hmm. Failing to acknowledge international fans while overpraising domestic fans.
Yeah, this is why the first one hurts so much. Like, you know, sure, shipping is not, okay, I get it. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not really that big of a deal, but it's like, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We all know.
Mm-hmm.
We all know. We all know that it is the international fans that are carrying ATs. I don't want to say carrying them on their backs because ATs is obviously working, but we are the ones who have largely made them successful.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. I mean,
through the voting and the streaming and the buying albums, we do the lion's share of that work.
We are the majority of the fans, and we are the most active fans. I have put so many hours into learning how to stream first on Genie. I was here for Genie. Mm. Like, I've been streaming on international sites for a long time. And then I learned how to stream on Bugs, and I do it every comeback. And we, like, the people who are organizing those Bugs streamings, they're not, like, it's the international fans who are streaming on the Korean sites that are allowing them to chart when mm-hmm. we do get them to chart on Bugs. Or it's the international fans' donations to the domestic fans so that they can purchase these downloads on Bugs to get them on the charts. So it is the international fans who are doing all of that work mm-hmm. and spending that money.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and I believe it was during, I want to say it was during Crazy Form that this happened, that there was the whole blow up about this. But, you know, international fans have always been frustrated because we just can't seem to get them to move in Korea. Like, we try and try and try, and it seems like they're so close to being able to, you know, finally break through and the general public finally pay attention to them. But they did this thing, and I like I said, I think it was Crazy Form. It could have been Bouncy, but
I think it's Bouncy because I think I know what you're talking about.
You probably do. So it was Bouncy, probably, where they offered like free PCs or signed Polaroids or something. There was like a contest where if you had, where you had to like submit your streaming proof and you would get something from KQ. Like KQ.
Yeah, I think that was Crazy Form actually. Okay.
So KQ hosted this thing and all of a sudden, all these people who didn't have time to stream and had other things they needed to do and blah, blah, blah. All of the sudden, there's all these big streaming numbers in Korea for that time period only.
Yep.
And it was like they managed to chart, like they charted probably, I think, higher than they had before in that tiny little time period. And international fans got really upset. I also got upset because it was so clear that it that they are capable, that the fans over there, and by K-teenies, I don't mean just Korean A-teenies. I mean any A-teenie who is in Korea, please understand.
Right.
Because I know that the, there are internationals who are in Korea, and they are also culpable. It was
perhaps
so,
more culpable.
Perhaps, but it was so clear at that time that they could be doing that. They knew how to do it. They could be pulling it off, but they needed incentive in order to do it. Whereas everybody else, we don't get anything. We were not offered anything for streaming for that. So it was just frustrating, and just it's like a yet another example of you know, K2, like you said, KQ catering to the Korean fans for doing the bare minimum, and international fans are bending over backwards and running around and trying to do all this stuff. I know what you're thinking of, though.
I know exactly what you were thinking of. Well, should I tell that horrible story?
Yes.
So during Bouncy, specifically, we were up against Morgan Wallen. Is that who it was?
No, Morgan Wallen, I believe.
Morgan Wallen. Sorry, I don't listen to him.
Nobody cares.
So we were up against Morgan Wallen, and we wanted to win because he is horrible. And I swear, all the U.S. A-teenies were working so hard. We were working so hard. I had at my house Pandora on. I had Spotify on. I was streaming the music video. I was driving to every Barnes and Noble from here to like 45 minutes away, like driving across town on the final day that they were counting. I think it was Thursday, so that I could get Bobby another copy of this album. And I was following all of the rules, right? Like no more than four per card. No, or four per purchase. Like, I was, all of us, and I, like, I'm using me as an example because I was there, but like, everyone was doing this. Like, it wasn't just me. All of us were trying so hard. And I like get to Barnes and Noble. It's the last day before, you know, the thing closes. And I like look at my phone, and there are all these pictures of this like fan meet that they're holding in
they
Korea.
Had so many during Bouncy.
And it was a those are free events. Like, those are free events. If you show up, you get to meet ATs. It's not like these fan calls that we get where we have to pay, you know, $3,000 and then hope to win the chance. The, like, they do these fan meets where they just, people can just show up. And there were all of these pictures going around where, like, A-teenies were just, like, touching A-teens' face.
Yeah, there's this picture of their girl has Woo-young's face in her hands. And it's like,
what the fuck? Like, it was so infuriating to see everyone just, like, having such a nice time, and no one cared what we were doing. We were working so hard. And then, you know, I don't know if that was the time that they didn't thank us.
No,
or
it was, well, I don't remember there being a specific time with Bouncy, because they made it to number, that was number two.
Right, they made it to number two.
Because they were just under Morgan Wallen.
Yeah, we did lose.
So they didn't really, I'm sure that, like, there were lives and each of the members individually think this. There may have been, like, an OT8 live or something like that. but I don't, there wasn't ever a specific thanks for Billboard that Bouncy that I remember.
Yeah.
Is this where we talk about the one where they did fail to thank us for Billboard 100?
I think so.
So this happened after we got them number one for Crazy Form. Mm-hmm. Or for, William. They had a live, a mm-hmm. pre-recorded live. It wasn't mm-hmm. a real live. It was a pre-recorded live that was posted. It was like a live showing, but it was a pre-recorded thing. It did not have subs.
Mm-hmm.
And they streamed it at my time, like 5 o'clock a.m. EST. Mm-hmm. So like mm-hmm. all of America, all of the ones who had anything to do with Billboard were asleep. Like, we were
gone. And unable to know what they were saying.
Yeah. The only reason I saw it was because I was getting up super early for school. So we had no idea what they were saying. It wasn't mm-hmm. subbed. It was never subbed that I am aware of, unless it was, like, subbed later, but I was too bitter to go back and watch it.
There have been several occasions recently, and I don't know what this is about. It's been less common in the last couple of months, mm-hmm. but I know you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. There were several releases that just didn't have subs.
Yeah. Like they would post logbooks and they would have subs at first and then the subs would disappear. And I don't know if they were ever added back. Mm-hmm. I know it was happening a lot on the Zykers channel, and then it started happening on AT's channel, and it was around mm-hmm. like Christmas time, like in the November, mm-hmm. December, January, February.
Mm-hmm. And there were a couple of videos that were released without subs at all, mm-hmm. and then they were added in later. And I don't know what that was about. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that was some technological glitch, if they had trouble with their captioner.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I remember there being notes. Like, so on some of the Zykers things, they would have a note in the caption that would say, you know, subs are coming by this date or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they would let you know. But then this particular live that was not live, that was pre-recorded, it didn't have a note that said, like, oh, subs are coming or anything like that. And mm-hmm. the fact that it was pre-recorded, I'm like, you could have just waited until we were up to do this stream. Like, so it just really felt like, who is this for? Because we're mm-hmm. asleep. We're the mm-hmm. ones. And I know I complained about this to you in a different episode. But if the same thing happened with Zykers when they made it onto Billboard 200 for the first time. Mm-hmm. They specifically thanked K-Rody fans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know if they know how Billboard works. Because it's an American thing. It's not a Korean mm-hmm. thing. The Koreans can't get the Billboard counted albums over there unless they're getting them shipped from America. And then I don't know if that counts, if they're shipping them to Korea.
It doesn't. You have to ship them to a U.S. address, mm-hmm. and you can't even really use proxies and mm-hmm. still have them count, because anytime that it's shipped to the same address, it's not counted. Mm. So, like, if you have multiple shipped to the same address, they don't count them. Mm. So it's not even really effective to use proxies. So mm-hmm. it's very, very hard to, like, qualify for the Billboard rules. I would say that, you know, Kateeny could be donating to our efforts, but they're not. They're not. Mm-hmm. So, like, that would be a way that they could participate, just like I always donate for the K charts, but I know that they don't donate for our charts.
No. Well, they don't care about our charts. So that was just, and that was after, like, on the heels of a couple of other kind of grave hurts. So that was, in a way, not really, but kind of felt like the final nail in a coffin that would never actually be nailed shut, because here I am still, you know?
Uh-huh. Should we get to the big guns?
Oh, dear. Here we go.
Creating events that actively exclude the majority of their audience.
All right, it's time.
This is directly on KQ.
So, I feel like I'm in therapy right now, like just reworking out this pain. Halazia.
Mm-hmm. Anyone who is around for Halazia feels this. They just got kicked in the gut.
Yeah. Halazia was a very important comeback specifically for me and Rachel because that is our religion now.
Right.
The Halazia religion.
Yes.
For legal reasons, that is a joke. So I think Halazia had just the most fun and chaotic promo.
Yes.
It was, you just never knew. Because there was no promo map. We had no idea what was happening ever. We didn't know, like, are there going to be pictures? Are they going to drop, like, a video? What's going on? There was the Drippy Mall video that happened. And it was 30 minutes of a Drippy Mall with, like, weird little audio visual cues hidden in it. And it was so wild and weird. It dropped at like 10 o'clock my time, I think, or maybe 11 o'clock my time. And nobody knew what was going on. It was just all of a sudden, here's this link and everybody's like talking about it. And it was like, it was one of those things. If you weren't there for it, you missed it because they took the live, it was live and then they took it down. They re-uploaded it afterwards. But the only way you could watch it after that was by, you know, watching it on somebody else's channel who had recorded it and uploaded it. So, like, and then we had these fun pictures. I mean, it was just, like, a lot. It was so fun.
And there were, like, clues in the Drippy Mall video that you could decipher. Like, once you went back, you could, like, look and see these things appear on the wall.
Yeah. And then here are feathers falling. I still swear that there was music playing in the wind. I think the wind was playing musical notes. Nobody believes me. Nobody has ever talked about it. But I'm like, I'm telling you, this is not what wind sounds like. And like, so if anybody out there like knows how to do like music things, I need you to confirm that what I am saying is true because I think there was a song hidden in the wind. Anyway, so they announced that they're doing this event for Caitanys, for the local people.
But they said it would be live streamed.
And it's gonna be live streamed and it's going to be on Naver Now, which was exciting because they had just released Real Now prior to this. Right. And Real Now is their best reality show that they have ever made. But anyway, so that felt good because like now we've got this, for some reason we've got this relationship with Naver. I don't know why they're doing it on the app instead of just on YouTube, but whatever. So they were going to be streaming this event that was going to be at a movie theater that, you know, that Caitanys could like, it was a very small group of Caitanys even who could attend this because it was at a movie theater. So the live stream starts. And first thing that feels off and wrong is that they start doing like these raffles and Caitanys are winning gifts and the members are leaving the camera to go off stage to hand Caitanys these gifts.
Yes.
We still don't know what they are.
That was the thing about the presents is that they kept disappearing.
Yeah.
They were disappearing from the screen. Like it's one thing to give people presents and make me watch. I don't love that. But at least I get to be involved.
Yeah.
Like, but to not be able to see the people who are getting the presents, not be able to see what the present was, it was like, why am I watching this? Right. This is not for me.
Yeah, that it felt very voyeuristic that this isn't anything. I feel like they really barely even acknowledged, and this could just be me and my very dark memory of this thing, but it felt like they didn't even really acknowledge the streaming audience at all. I don't honestly remember outside of them giving gifts to the Caitanys. They probably played some sort of games because they always play games. I remember that Yuno was sort of like the MC. I remember that.
I think they did like some interview bits. And I do think they trotted the album out, I think, and showed it to us, like the three versions. And I think they should, like, I think that's why I remember it because I think they showed us all three of those sitting next to each other.
And then, and I feel like I did not know that this was going to happen prior to the live stream. But then, and this is like 2 hours, I think, maybe an hour and a half, maybe an hour. It's like a decent chunk of time prior to the drop of the music video.
Right. This is like a lead up to.
Yeah, this is the night of. They dismiss us, the streaming audience, from the live. Because they are about to watch Halazia in a movie theater with the Caitonese present. Mm-hmm. And we obviously were not allowed to watch that with them. And I have never in my life felt so excluded. Mm-hmm. And I was shaken by this whole thing. And the worst part of it, maybe it wasn't even the worst part, but then of course the Caitonese watch the music video and they come flooding onto the socials and start mm-hmm. talking about it. Oh, it's so dramatic. And mm-hmm. San dies at the end. And I cried about what happened to San. San does not die in the Halazia music video. And it was just so, like, so we had, like, this thing. And now mm-hmm. we have this, like, stretch of time where there's this group of people in Korea who have seen the music video and are mm-hmm. talking about it very cagily on the socials, obviously, because they can't just spoil it fully. They're just going to uh-huh. be annoying about it. And we still can't see it for another, you know, hour and a half, however long it was.
Mm-hmm. I don't even, like... You know, in my mind, I'm like, why didn't they just time it so that I could have seen that music video immediately?
All they had to do was to fix this. Because I'm like, I'm totally fine with Caitonese having, like, a special event that's for them in the country where ATEEZ also lives. That makes total sense geographically.
And, like, ATEEZ wants to celebrate, too. And that's, yeah. like, they love their fans, having an audience there. All of that makes perfect sense. I do not begrudge them having their showcases in Korea. I understand that I can't participate. I would love it. I, like... Just stream it for me.
I'm fine with all of this. I'm even fine with you, you know, giving the secret gifts to the secret Aitonese who are there. I'm fine with that. I can let that go.
I can't.
But that all they had to do was set this event later in the evening so that mm-hmm. when Caitonese are watching the music video in the movie theater, I am also able to watch it on my own, and right. I don't have to deal with the stupid tweets about how dramatic it is and how sad what happens to San is at the end. I don't have to deal with that. Like, and they could have just put a stream on YouTube. Putting it on mm-hmm. Neighbor did nothing, because there weren't, like, ads or anything, and it was a free app, so it's not like Neighbor made a bunch of money from this. And I know that Korea has YouTube, so that we could have just streamed it on YouTube, because they used to do this. I know that Super M did this a couple times before before 100 is the one that I am remembering off the top of my head, but they did, like, a pre music uh-huh. video drop, like a stream thing where they were chatting about the music video and doing interviews and stuff. And then at the end of that, we immediately got kicked over into the waiting room for the music video, waiting uh-huh. for the countdown for that. Like, and it would have been such an easy fix. But I do remember watching Halazia, the magnificent uh-huh. masterpiece that is Halazia, and it has this little shadow for me, when I look in my memory, when I look back on mm-hmm. that, there's just this little dark time, you know, between that stream and the beginning of that music video, and it sort of overshadowed the Halazia a little bit. And so when I remember Halazia, I remember just a little bit of hurt, and that makes me upset, because mm-hmm. it didn't have to be that way.
Because Halazia is so beautiful and perfect, mm-hmm. and it should have been allowed to maintain its beautiful and perfectness.
Yeah.
I said that I wouldn't forgive them for the presents, but what I mean is I don't forgive them for showing me other people giving presents. Like, that was the stupidest thing they could have done.
Yeah.
They knew they had an online audience. Mm-hmm. If they wanted to give out presents, just, you know, have, like, you're already doing part of this after we get off the stream. Yeah. So just finish it then.
Yeah, it was like,
you know, that show was... the music video, have people look under their seat, mm-hmm. and then, you know, those people win a gift. But to have me at home from my couch in Texas watch Yosung leave the screen mm-hmm. with a bag and then no one do anything while this is happening, because the only entertainment is that Yosung is giving someone a present, and then just force me to watch ATEEZ give this person a present. Like,
you know, we don't like even get to watch them give the present. We're watching ATs watching them give the present. That's what I'm saying.
Force me to watch ATs watch Yosong give an ATE a present. That's crazy. And I don't forgive you for that because you could have done it in any other way. They could have done the presents before the stream started.
Like, the stream very much felt like an afterthought. Right. Like, it was not meant for a streaming audience. It was only meant for the live audience. I'm like, you didn't have to do the stream. I would have been fine without the stream.
In which case, don't stream it, right? Yeah. Like, this is a private event, blah, blah, blah. Like, that would have made me sad, but it wouldn't have pissed me off.
No, it would have been like, okay. Yeah, but then I would have been waiting for Halazia with a normal, like, not knowing anything that's going on. I would have been fine. But... Right. I mean, I still would have been upset when I found out KTs had gotten to see the music video before we did. That is also foreshadowing for later.
I don't even know which one comes next.
I kind of want to go to, because ATNE Day was rough for me.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go to Crazy Form and then go back to ATNE Day.
Okay.
Because Crazy Form, very much like Bouncy, there was a lot of Korea-specific promo. A lot of Korea-only events.
The thing about Crazy Form that just started, like, when Crazy Form was announced, I was so excited. Mm-hmm. You know who immediately wasn't excited? KTNE. Do you remember the drama about the title of the song? Yeah. They thought it wasn't cool.
Yeah, they thought it didn't match ATEEZ's vibe.
And then Hongjoong came online and he was like, don't worry, just trust us. And it's like, you've got to stop caring what they think because they're wrong.
They're always mad about something. We just went through the whole royal thing. They're always mad about something. And they're never, ever right. it just is the way that it is. Like,
and I understand why Hongjoong would come on and, like, be like, no, just trust us. But it makes me mad that he had to. Mm. It makes me mad that they threw such a big fit that Hongjoong had to come on and reassure them. And meanwhile, they're getting all of this promo content, special things again, still, right? Like, they're mad about the song, and yet they still get so much more than us.
Mm-hmm. So there's already all this promo that is specifically aimed at them. They're having this very grand pop-up for Crazy Form the week before weekend before it drops.
Yes.
At this point, a week before Crazy Form is out, we've gotten previews for the first, like, five songs. We have heard We Know, we've heard Emergency, we've heard Crazy Form, obviously. We have heard Ariba, and we have heard Silver Light. And a Dreamy Day. I think we did get some of Dreamy Day as well, didn't we?
I think so.
We have not heard the unit songs, though. Now, unit songs are extremely important, particularly to Rachel and I, because Jongo has a solo, and we have not heard a single iota of it at this point.
Nothing.
So KTNEs go to their pop-up, their beautiful... well-run, lovely pop-up, beautifully decorated, spacious, lovely, wonderful pop-up.
Not a whiff of Hello 82.
They don't even know Hello 82 over there. They get into their pop-up, and it turns out that there is a special room at the pop-up where KTNEs get to listen to previews of the unit songs. Previews that international fans were, and they were specifically told, you cannot record these, you cannot share these. They were barred from sharing the audio with the international fans. KQ specifically prohibited international fans from being able to hear the unit song previews. Now, I am aware that in the grand scheme of things, like, we did eventually, we got the album, like, when everybody else got it, we got to hear them, when everybody else got to hear the full songs. But the audacity of a company to give this gift, to give these teasers only to their Korean fan base, when they know damn well that it is the international fans who make the numbers happen, is insane.
It is. It's truly unfathomable that they would do that. Like, I look back on it, I'm like, I just don't understand who made that choice, who made that decision.
Like, who thought we would be happy about that? And I'm like, you know what? I don't remember. I feel like I'm a little bit crazy because I don't remember anybody other than like us, like our mm-hmm. little group of people. I don't remember anyone talking about that. How absolutely insane. I remember
people talking about it.
Okay. I must have been on the wrong side of Twitter then, because I don't remember people being upset about that. And I'm like, this is what we need to be upset about. I'm upset.
I remember people being upset about it, but it wasn't the, you know, the ones who are particularly loud. Mm. It was all of the same people who always get upset when KQ does something actually stupid. Mm. So, and like a lot of it was like very jokingly, like how could they, when I'm Mingy's biggest fan, how could they deny me this?
No, that one hurt because they were specifically prohibited from sharing the audio, mm-hmm. which was the only way that we could have heard it.
Yeah. I guess my thing is, why were they prohibited from sharing the audio? Like, mm-hmm. what? It's not like it was the full song. It was the teaser. So mm-hmm. why couldn't we hear this teaser? And it never should have happened, because what KQ should have done is the day the pop-up started, they should have released the teasers of those songs. Mm-hmm. Like, you can hear them in person. And, you know, if they wanted to make it special for people to come to the pop-up so that they could spend money, then they could have had, like, and see the special note that Mingy wrote mm-hmm. about his song. Like, you know,
I would have forgiven him if they had just dropped the teasers after the pop-up was over, like, or after the pop-up had been open for a couple of days, or if right. they had put the teasers behind some sort of, like, you know, puzzle that you had to figure out, like they did with the baby's most recent comeback. They did so much better with Zyker's most recent comeback at catering to both the international fans and the Korean fans, because they had like this whole interactive online thing that was entirely online that mm-hmm. led you to hear two of the teasers, and then you could vote on which one you wanted the extended teaser from. And the way that you voted was by playing this little like Pac-Man game. The game was glitchy as hell and I did not enjoy mm-hmm. playing it, but I appreciated the effort. Right. But it was like they figured it out. Just put it online. You could just put it online. Everybody gets to be involved. Like, I would have been okay with that. Like, they get to just go to the pop-up and they pay you to get things at the pop-up and mm-hmm. they get to hear the teasers. The international fans, you just have to do a little puzzle. Here, do a little Sudoku and you get to hear Jongo sing 30 seconds of everything. I would have been like, great. I love this.
They could have put it behind a paywall if they were like, watch this advertisement for our thing. Mm. Or, you know, if you purchase something from this store, you get to hear it. Like, anything that allowed me to access it would have been fine. Even if I didn't want to pay for it, right? Like, even if I decided, no, I don't actually want to buy that. No, so I'm not going to. Just the ability to do it would have been enough for me. Like, something that made it so it was possible for me to listen to a preview mm-hmm. of everything.
Now we got to get into the real one. Yes. So, just prior to the release of, in the middle of the promo for mm-hmm. Crazy Form, mm-hmm. on November 17th, as you know, 11/17, was Eighteeny Day. Mm-hmm. For Eighteeny Day, what happened? I don't know if you were not around for this, count yourself lucky, because it was rough.
You know, Eighteeny Day is supposed to be a celebration of the fandom, mm-hmm. right? You're mm-hmm. supposed to thank the fandom. Mm-hmm. And this goes back to who is your clientele? Mm-hmm. Who is your audience? Eighteenies are largely an international fandom. Mm-hmm. And I understand that ATs gets gratification from seeing their fans, and on Eighteeny Day they would want to see their fans in person.
And
like,
I do understand that. Fine, that's so great.
Yes,
I'm fully on board with that.
Right, and I don't begrudge them that at all. However, you have to also give me something, mm-hmm. just something, a bone.
What we did get, so we at that evening or that day before for us, mm-hmm. it was the day before, we get a promo map that looks like an Animal Crossing island drawing, and it's all these different like things.
It's cute.
It's a very cute map. I still have it. In prior Eighteeny Days, they had like they had released Star 1117. They had released Celebrate with like a cute little like you know, hand-drawn animation thing that was only up for like 24 hours and then it vanished and then they later came out. So this is the sort of, and then I think the year before they had done like a video thing for everybody. So like these are the sort of 18-y days that I am used to. I am used to there being content for me to consume. For me and 18-y, also in 18-y, to consume. We get pictures, I think, that night. Before I go to bed, we get pictures. Overnight, they drop a series of videos where ATs are doing that, like, paint pour thing that was really popular. And I don't like it. I think it looks ugly. But so I'm glad that it's not big anymore. But they do the thing where they, like, pour the paint over, like, the, I think they were bunnies because of Mido and whatever. And then there was a game where ATs were supposed to match the bunnies to the boy to figure out who created which bunny, and then they released the videos, and the videos were not, they were only on Tok Tok and they were not subbed, so international fans who are, you know, dumb stupid strike English speakers, we don't know what any of these videos are saying, so it's like, okay, sure. And I believe that Jungo wasn't speaking for his because he had like a sore throat or something. He's just sitting there silently, and then he was with Wooyoung, if I remember correctly, and Wooyoung is doing all the talking. That is all that I remember from that. So I'm like, oh, so these videos are nice. Cool. I wake up to, I think I woke up just before the live stream, but I woke up and I see the big news because there was this big special secret event that was happening overnight. And it turns out that the big secret event was a cafe event for K-Tinies only. And K-Tinies also complained about this. They complained because they didn't get a lot of notice to be able to get over to the event. They complained because I think they ran out of stuff because they did not anticipate the number of K-Tinies that would be there. But K-Tinies who were allowed to participate got in. They met K-Tinies. They met ATs. They got like a rose.
For free.
For free. They got like a rose. They got like a cupcake or some sort of pastry of some sort and, you know, a drink, I think. So it was like a nice little, like they just shuffled through. There are videos of people, you know, saying hi to, you know, just right there. And that was the big secret event. And then there was a live stream early in the morning. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning for me. And the only point that I will give them is that the live stream was subbed. So it was those delayed subs. So they were like, oh, right, international fans, here you go.
Which I do appreciate. Like, thank you. Because they don't ever do it for the birthday lives anymore. No. They used to, but they don't now.
But again, they did the stream at a time when a lot of the international fans were asleep. You know, it was 5 a.m. on the East Coast. So it was 4 for you, so on and so forth. Which is fine. You know, I know that they've got their own schedules to keep and they don't want to be up super late in order to cater to us. So I understand that. But it was kind of like, okay, that was like the only main event for the international fans.
Right.
Because they didn't release anything else. Like, that was it. So it really felt kind of like a slap in the face because it was like, okay, what part of this was for me?
Yeah.
And it makes me feel very selfish to say that out loud, but it's kind of like it was my birthday too. So it's really weird that I didn't get to have any cake and nobody brought me presents, but like people brought my twin sister stuff because it's her birthday, or my best friend who, or my friend who has the same birthday, she got a bunch of presents and she got cake, but I didn't get cake and presents. People barely remember that it was my birthday.
So someone yelled happy birthday across the room.
They're like, oh, right, it's you too. Bye. And then they were gone. And I was like you said, it's totally fine if they are going to do something special and in person for the people they are in person with. That makes sense. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
But you can't only do that. Like, if they had done the exact same 8-8-any day and then had, like, released a special Dreamy Day.
Yeah.
Which is what I think they should have done. They should have pre-released Dreamy Day with, like, a cute little video. It could have been animated. It could have just been, like, logbook footage that was compiled together. It could have just been over, like, a slideshow. If they had just, like, that just pre-released Dreamy Day,
They didn't even have to pre-release something. They could have gone into their back catalog and done the same thing. If they didn't want to pre-release anything mm-hmm. for us, they could have just grabbed Time of Love. Yeah. And
poor forsaken Time of Love.
Given us a video, mm-hmm. a Time of Love video to watch, to be like, oh, this was so sweet. Mm-hmm.
Just something that felt like it was also for us. Like that yeah. was all that I needed, but it felt like we were so pointedly excluded is what it felt like. To me.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that I have ever recovered that. Like, I'm kind of dreading A&E Day this year because I'm like, how are they going to disappoint me this year? And I do, when I say they, please understand, this is not about A&E's crimes. This is about KQ's crimes because KQ are the ones who orchestrated this. Like, right. I know that A&E's had, like, ideas and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's KQ's job to make sure that they are appealing to the wide fan base.
Right. Literally anything that we have said today is about KQ. Even if I said something, like, when I talked about Hong Joon going on to, you know, reassure the Korean fans about Crazy Form. Like, one, I don't think Hong Joon needed to do that. But, like, I was not mad at him for doing that.
Mm.
I was mad that KQ continued to give people give people things who weren't appreciating it, right? Mm. Like, they continued to throw events. They went on to exclude us from hearing the unit songs. Any complaint that I have is directly at KQ's feet. It is not A&E's job to make me, the fan, feel special. Like, it's KQ's job,
mm-hmm.
truthfully. Like, it is their job. It is their job to make sure that the fans are happy. A&E's job is to perform.
Yeah.
I mean, they are an idol, and, like, fan service is part mm-hmm. of their job.
Yeah, but it's not their job to, like, arrange the fan calls. They need to be no. on the fan call, but they don't need to be in charge of making sure that it happens. That's the difference. Right.
Exactly. So we've discussed and found KQ guilty.
Yes, I have a thing before we proceed.
Right. Right, okay.
So I have a correction. Because in truthfulness, as we are recording this part of the episode, we are actually a few days later and I've already edited the first half of the episode.
Mm.
I just want to put out a little correction because when we are talking about Crazy Form and we're talking about how we hadn't heard any of the unit songs, that's only slightly correct because we had heard the instrumentals, but we hadn't heard any of the vocals, and it was the vocals that we were talking about that we didn't get to hear. We had heard, like, the instrumental for the song because we all got to hear those, but it was the actual Jungo vocals that we were mad that we didn't get to hear.
All of the other ones too, but yeah. specifically
Jungo. As is our right. So yeah, so just slight correction on mm-hmm. that, just in case mm-hmm. anyone's like, but wait, that's not true.
And if it sounds weird and different after this part, I guess it's because, like Bobby said, we're recording this 3 days later because yeah. things happened.
Yeah, things did happen.
But that's you know, just like in a real trial, the jury came mm-hmm. out mm-hmm. and they've deliberated. They found KQ guilty.
Right.
And now we are here again to decide on their punishment.
Right. So we're here at sentencing. I would like to mm-hmm. inject a little bit of positivity. I think we should, before we sentence them, we should consider KQ's good behavior.
Yes.
That they have exhibited.
Mm-hmm.
I have, so things that they have done that I am very pleased about that I think, mm-hmm. Show their good nature, their true intentions.
Mm-hmm.
My first one that is specific to, the international people, but mostly for the North American fans, is that they did add new cities to the North American tour for this recent Towards the Light. Which I think is an acknowledgement that, yes, the U.S. is big.
Yes.
It's real big. so they seem to be starting to understand that. I am not going to hold Duluth against them. I am still holding that firmly against Peso Pluma.
I'm holding it against the whole city of Duluth.
She is, and that is her right. but So that is my first thing. I think they're starting to understand. We are seeing the light. Perhaps mm-hmm. KQ has regained its own light. Who knows? My other thing that I think is a testament to their very good behavior is that in spite of the many, 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 many outcries of Aetanese, that they have not gotten rid of Edenary. That they have stuck by them this whole time, no matter what.
I want to tell everyone about one of the worst days of my life. Okay. When I woke up that one day and there was that truck and Eden had taken away his Instagram. Mm-hmm. All of the people that I know to be in Edenary took Edenary off their Instagram. Mm-hmm. And there was word that there was this truck out and Aetanese were celebrating that Eden was gone. I literally felt sick. Like mm-hmm. For 3 days, I felt sick. Did not have a good time. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's it.
Yeah. But they didn't. Our worst fears did not come true.
And I honestly, I think it was Cassandra sent us some tweet from an Aetanese that was like, I hope all the Edenaries I hope that Hongjoong and Mingi start producing more for Aetes so that all of the Eden stands will leave and not support Aetes anymore. And I was like, mm-hmm. wow, they don't understand what I want as an Eden stan at all. Like, if Eden wants to leave ATs and produce his own music, that would be great. I would still be here to support ATs,
right?
Because I like ATs mm-hmm. and I also like Eden, and I actually can do both of those things at the same time. I think it would be fabulous if Hongjoong and Mingi had time to produce more songs mm-hmm. and get them on the albums. That would be wonderful.
I mean, I would be devastated if Eden stopped producing for ATs altogether. I would love more Hongjoong and Mingi, especially more Mingi, because Royal was fantastic.
Yeah, Royal was super fun.
I would love more of that. I would like to see Edenary expand even more. Mm-hmm. Bring Quaymo and Long Drive and that whole team. I'm like, bring them in. Bring them into the fold. Let's get them in here because they're great mm-hmm. and I love them. But I would also like to hear more Eden solo stuff as well.
Yeah. I would only want Eden to leave ATs if it was Eden's choice. I don't want him to be forced out because of Aetanese.
Yeah.
If it's what Eden and ATs decide is for the good of ATs, then mm-hmm. that's totally different.
Right. The thing is that if he did leave, it didn't matter what narrative the company says or what Eden says or what Hongjoong says. Aetanese are going to have their own narrative and they're going to be convinced that they brought this about.
Well, that would make me miserable hearing them say that.
I don't want them to be happy. Sorry. I'm not sorry.
Should I come up with some positive things that I think?
I mean, you should if you can think of some. I mean, there are lots of them that we all know. They do subs on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
They've been doing that since day one. That they do tour as often as they do. Mm-hmm. Tells me that they do appreciate the fans. They seemed to improve the thing at the end of the concert that was really awkward, the send-off. It mm-hmm. seemed like they, I don't know if that was just the venue staff specific or the venue specific or if they actually did take into account people's feedback on that.
Yeah, they said the Tacoma one was very bad mm-hmm. and it did improve a lot.
I mean, Arizona one also wasn't great, I don't think, because it was super, super fast.
The one in LA was great. My experience at Send Off in LA was great. The one in Arizona was okay.
It was fine.
The one in Arizona was really, I mean, obviously it was cool to see them up close and to get their autograph, but I would not pay an exorbitant amount extra to mm-hmm. do that again. Mm-hmm. Value wise, it was a lot of money for a very short interaction.
Right.
So one time was enough for me. I was trying to think of some recent things that I had been happy about with KQ. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have to do with, this is controversial, but the members' individual schedules. Mm. I've been really pleased with some of the opportunities that they got for them, especially when it, like, some of them, it seemed like they were something that the boys themselves wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I was really pleased about that. I'd love to see them get more individual schedules for all of the boys, obviously. But I did think that they had done some really, like, they had made time for the boys to do some really cool things. Mm-hmm. I would say that I appreciate that KQ had a wide variety of merchandise at the concerts this time. There were a lot of different items. Specifically during Break the Wall, it did look like they had contacted some office supply store and just asked them to put Break the Wall on various products. I think they had like a megaphone. Obviously, I have the basketball because I'm an insane person. I thought it was funny, so I bought it. But, you know, for this tour, it felt like there was more thoughtfulness into the merchandise. Another good thing that I think they have done is, I think if you remove my own experience with Anatees, which is has been horrible, partially because I'm a GOM, so I've been, like, ordering for other people and ordering way more than, like, an average person, right? Like, I had 20-something orders for Anatees. So, like, yeah, some of mine got messed up. But, like, they have made the Anatees available in such a way that it is really accessible to fans across the world. And I think they deserve some credit for that. Another thing that I think they deserve some credit for is, and I think we faulted them for this in the episode, but I'm going to give them credit for it now. being creative with how they work with the limitations that they have. I'm thinking specifically of how AT's community got involved with Hello 82. And the only reason that AT's is eligible for Billboard is because they have partnered with Hello 82. If we did not have that partnership, then we wouldn't be able to buy their albums in Target. They did not have the Target distribution. Hello 82 set that up. And Hello 82 couldn't even do that immediately, right? Like, Hello 82 had to sell them from their website first, prove the demand. Then they tested it through several comebacks. Like, we started with Fever Part 3. They still were testing it during Epilogue. During the World, we finally got them online in Target.
And we didn't get them in stores until spinoff, and then it wasn't even like the first spinoff, it was a special spinoff that came out like 2 weeks later.
And so all of that took so much time to establish those connections and prove that demand, and we couldn't have done any of it if ATs wouldn't have agreed to this partnership with someone who was excited to make that happen. Right, so I think, like, KQ by themselves couldn't have done it. They couldn't have gotten into Target. Like, they just couldn't have. And, you know, we can hate on Hello 82 all we want to, and I do. I think they suck. But I give KQ a lot of credit for making these connections so that the boys can have the same opportunities that are, you know, guaranteed members of groups from large companies.
And I do think that ATs will be loyal to Hello 82. I do think they're going to continue that because they seem to, be a very loyal group, which I love that about them. But it's also a little frustrating that we have to take this, we have to go through this avenue because RCA can't be bothered.
I think the thing that's really nice about ATs, and this is part of where they come from, is that they really do not forget where they came from, you know? And so they're also never going to forget the people that helped them be where they are. Just like they're KBS's sons, right? Like, they will bend over backwards for KBS, it appears. Like, the, if we see ATs on any music shows in this next comeback, I think it will be KBS ones.
I say with a sigh. Well, I was watching that new thing that Wooyoung is on. His interview with Daewee, I think is his name?
Daewee.
And he talks about how he remembers 101 coming back and greeting ATs and how memorable that was because it was unusual, because he said, you know, normally it's the Hubeis that have to go greet the Sunbeis, mm-hmm. but that Wana One came to greet Aetes, and he, you know, how important that was for him. Mm-hmm. And then, like, he and Digwe became friends afterwards, and it's like, they remember, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sure they remember every single time they were cut. I'm sure they remember every staff yeah. member that was rude to them. I'm sure they remember every MNET yeah. person that was dismissive. I'm sure they remember, but they also remember all the good people, like all the, yeah. all the people who were kind to them, all the people who helped them. They're like the Count of Monte Cristo of K-pop.
It's so incredible to me that Aetes don't want to see them give that same kindness back to others.
I know. It's really frustrating. Like, let them be good. Just let them be good. Let them do a good thing for somebody else.
Remember when they were cultural ambassadors for KCON and they mm-hmm. went to every KCON in Christendom? Like, mm-hmm. just all the KCONs, they were there. And we know that it was because they were doing this cultural ambassador thing and mm-hmm. because of Psykers.
Yeah.
They had no other reason to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to lift other people up. And I just think that's so great. And that attitude, like, yes, that's Aetes, but it's also KQ.
Mm-hmm.
Because KQ could say no.
Yeah.
KQ could prevent them. So I think there is a little bit of credit to KQ there.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when you see a really awesome kid at school and you know mm-hmm. it's because they have really awesome parents.
Right.
It's not always the case, but it's usually the case.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about the quote that they have on the KQ wall. Mm. You can see the way that Aetes treats people comes from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this idea is built into the company. They have it on their wall that we treat people with respect.
Mm-hmm.
We listen to other ideas. Everyone is a human. And I know that Bobby and I will have some episode one day where we can talk about how KQ is blamed in big ways for things that are actually represent, like, small mistakes by mm-hmm. people. Like, a person makes a mistake because people make mistakes, because people are human and we all make mistakes. But instead of that being accepted as, like, oh man, they made a mistake, the fandom is like, burn KQ to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But I think internally at KQ, it is like, oh man, you made a mistake. You need to do better next time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we don't see a lot of turnover at KQ.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the number one sign of a healthy company is that your employees want to stay.
Yeah. Or it's the sign of a company that overpays you for nothing. And I don't think that's KQ, because they don't have the money for that.
All right. So now that we've taken into account their good behavior, mm-hmm. it is time to assign their sentence, their sentencing.
Okay. So their first crime that we talked about was not understanding their clientele and not taking appropriate action to cater that to
mm-hmm.
them.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen improvements. We just talked about that things have been improving.
Mm-hmm.
Things were dire for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, things had been okay, and then things were dire.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're starting to see improvement again.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think would make it up to the fandom?
I don't know that we can ever make it up to the fandom.
Yeah.
You know, those Hollas, the Hollazia betrayal will exist forever. And I know that that's part of part three, but what I think that we could do moving forward to make things better is to get better boxes.
Yeah.
Let's just start there. Let's get yeah. some better boxes. It's not hard.
Yeah. KQ,
they're out there.
If you're going to ship things internationally, and you have to, because we all live internationally,
mm-hmm.
you need better boxes. Mm-hmm. You are required to get better boxes. That mm-hmm. is your punishment.
Yeah, just packaging in general, you know, get some bubble wrap, protect mm-hmm. the PCs,
mm-hmm.
please.
And you should have to hire someone. I think they might have already done this,
mm-hmm.
but maybe hire a second person. Someone who speaks fluent English needs to mm-hmm. work in the Tok Tok
mm-hmm.
customer service and in the KQ customer service. And you need to make that website one.
Yes. Those have got to be the same thing. We got to, it's either KQ shop or it's Tok Tok shop. It's not both. You got to go with one and be consistent about where things are sold and posted.
Yes. And have a person in charge of it who, obviously they need to speak Korean as well, but they also need to speak fluent English.
I would recommend some other major languages, Spanish and French and Japanese, I think would be a great start too.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Okay, we fixed it.
The second crime. Failing to acknowledge international fans while overpraising domestic. I have an easy first fix for this.
Okay.
We will get you on Billboard again.
Mm-hmm. We will.
Please post a video with subs at a time when U.S. fans, they're the ones who do Billboard, so this is specific. U.S. fans are awake. The boys don't even need to speak English. Like, I don't, like, that's not necessary. That's, I mean, it's nice, so it's like nice. A nice touch
if they want say to. Thank you. Let in them English, do it if they want to.
Yeah, that's not necessary. Mm-hmm. I just need you to put some subs on that video.
Yes.
And I need you to post it at a time when I am awake to see it.
It doesn't have to be live, KQ. It doesn't have to be live. We're okay with a pre-recorded video. And it's obvious that it's a pre-recorded video, and you just post it. That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Honestly, I don't even know that I need a video. If they just made, like, a really nice graphic with the boys on it, and then they just wanted to write, like, thank you in English, and post it at the at a time when I was awake on Twitter, like, it would be fine. Like,
you know what? And we have Instagram accounts now. So if each boy just got on there, if Jongo just posts a selfie and he has a caption that can be translated with just a thank you, I'd be great. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's good. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
Yeah. You could even, you know, you could put the thank you in Korea, Korean, and then you could put a little American flag emoji. and that's done, you know?
You know?
So, I mean, that's a really easy fix.
You know, the point is the acknowledgement. Like, we all know who did this, who worked for this, and you know who to thank for it. And it's the Americans. And honestly, I think that every country that gets their boy, that gets them charted, like, you know, when they chart in Ireland, they should thank Ireland. When they chart in wherever, South America, they should, like, everybody should get a thank you. And I don't think that that's difficult. I don't think it's difficult to smack a graphic together and send that out. I don't think it's difficult for them to, or even just to have one big thank you video and they just, like, you know, they thank, you know, thank you, South America. Thank you, North America. Thank you, you know, like, I feel like everyone should get their due acknowledgement. I'm not out here being like, the U.S. is better than everybody else because I'm not Trump. So I do feel like everybody should get their due credit, and that would go a long way to soothing a lot of hurt feelings.
Yeah, I think, like, the French charts that we got on last time for the first time. Just a little graphic with some French on it.
A little croissant. And a French flag.
Right. Jongo can post a selfie with a croissant. It's perfect.
He posts a selfie with all the national foods. Whatever those are.
Yeah, I'm still, you know. America has pizza, so that's sad for where pizza is.
I love pizza. Well, the problem with American food is that all our food comes from elsewhere, I think.
Yeah.
So what are we supposed to do? I'm not going to be out here trying to say that they shouldn't praise Catanese and they shouldn't cater to them.
Right.
That's not what I want. I'm not trying to make the Catanese mad.
Yeah. And, like, I get it too, right? Like, ATEEZ is in Korea, so. And
I want them to have a big Korean audience. I want there to be more Catanese. Let's make that very, very clear. I'm not trying to be like, I only want them to be international. No, no, no. I want them to be big in Korea. I just need the Catanese to get on board with that, is what I want.
And ATEEZ, like, you know, they do see them a lot at these events. So, like, of course they're going to praise them and, like, thank them. They have more opportunities to thank them, just, like, seeing them in person. I see ATEEZ once a year, maybe, with me and my 10,000 closest friends.
Right.
Whereas if I was seeing ATEEZ in Korea, I would see them many, many times over the course of a year with maybe like my 200 closest mm-hmm. friends. It's a very different environment.
Right.
So it totally makes sense that they praise domestic fans and that they are grateful for their domestic fans and they thank domestic fans. Mm-hmm. And I think that all makes sense and there's no problem with it. I just also want them to praise me when the time comes.
I just want a little credit.
When it's relevant, mm-hmm. I would like some of that praise to fall to me.
Mm-hmm. All right, so part three.
Their third crime, creating events that actively exclude the majority of their audience.
So this one is tricky because like we mm-hmm. like we've said, it makes total sense for them to do things that are Korea specific because that is where they are and not everything mm-hmm. translates to streaming or to a wider audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think the important thing here is to, one, make sure that your international audience has something equivalent to
right.
what you are giving your domestic audience.
Right.
If you are hosting an event, if like your big event of a day is a in-person thing, you need something that is also for the internationals. And it doesn't have to just be for the international fans. I don't want KTNs to get less stuff. That's not what I'm after here.
Right.
I am just after equivalent experiences, you know, right. whatever that happens to look like. So, and we talked about this when we discussed it, but if they had just like given us a video of some sort,
mm-hmm.
you know, a pre-release mm-hmm. of Dreamy Day is what I would have loved. That would have solved every single problem with that day for me. You know, or like you said, it could have just been an older song with something mm-hmm. that was like a compilation, something that ATEEZ didn't necessarily have to be present for. Or to right. put effort into something that the company would handle.
The company could have done, like they do with the birthday things, mm-hmm. like a little animation. The company could have done an animation to one of their mm-hmm. old songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So the company could have done it entirely. Mm-hmm. ATEEZ not necessary.
Mm-hmm. So just something equivalent would have been great. And I think just that across the board, that you have to provide an equivalent experience for your international fans, whether that's, you know, like I said, what they did with Zykers, where like Zykers had that online puzzle thing, mm-hmm. you know, instead of everything just being something that you can only do physically in Seoul,
mm-hmm.
like they did with like their scavenger hunts and their photoism events and the mm-hmm. gacha pawns with the Mido yeah. stuff. Like we just also need something. Like if they're getting that, then we need to get something as well, or we need to have some way to also
feel like we're a part of it.
Right.
I think that was a big problem during Golden Hour specifically because we were seeing all like international fans didn't like the concept photos, and that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, we didn't have anything to do.
Right.
If we had had something to do, and also, like, most of them didn't like the concept photos, maybe they would have been distracted by the, like, mm-hmm. puzzles or, like, the rest of the thing. But there was really nothing for us
mm-hmm.
during Golden Hour.
No. And we've talked about that because there was no lore. There was nothing to discuss. Right. There wasn't any mystery. The only mystery was, mm-hmm. where's the lore? So...
And they did do billboards in the United mm-hmm. States for Golden Hour, but that's not...
They only did them in LA.
I think they did them in New York, too, like at Times Square. I know. That's not, like, I was, like, you got your two coasts covered, but...
Right, I mean, I think
a whole swath of...
physical things are great, but we're a big country.
Yeah.
You know? So anything physical, anything where you have to go to a place is going to be very, very difficult to arrange on such a large scale, which is why they really just need to stick with things that are digital, because that's always mm-hmm. going to translate well across, you know, mm-hmm. lots of different places. And if you are going to do something physical, it needs to be something that's available in a lot of different places, similar to like Record Store Day, where yeah. you have local places that are participating in some small way, which right. I know that would take a lot of arranging.
Mm-hmm. And I understand why that's hard for them to do. They mm-hmm. don't. They're not located here. They don't have the connections here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Daddy Sean must speak some English, but that doesn't mean that he's, like, fluent to do contract negotiations in it, so.
Right. Well, I'm sure that he has somebody on his staff that speaks fluent English. He's got it. That'd be wild if he
didn't. He has to.
So those are the punishments, but I have, if you want to earn some bonus points with me, KQ, I have some small requests. First of all, I need you, as an apology for the Jeezy collab, specifically, I need you, and I mean like Golden Hour Live, you owe me an apology for that, because you're not giving me exactly what I want. I need you to release an actual live album, and I would like the following tracks to be on it. I want Concert From. I want Concert Halazia. I want the live band Answer from Mawazine. I want all the live band tracks from Coachella. I want, there's another one, and it has escaped my mind. What do you want on this album?
Concert Inception.
Concert Inception.
I want Concert Inception. I wanted it for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, I also want the Deja Vu into, with the transition that they did for the Gaio into the real. You know, their best performance. I want that. I want the whole thing. I want that. I'm sure there are others. But I want a live album. A for real one this time. I don't need any remixes on it. I just want the live. Oh, I'm sorry. I need the live version of the Fever medley. I need that. That is important. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. I think that's my list. And I was very specific this time. I was very specific.
And they owe you this. They owe me this. For making me buy Work Part 4.
I also had to buy it. Do you have bonus points that you request?
I would like a physical Eden album, even if it's only just for me and you send it directly to my house.
That Eden burnt in the lab or whatever, in the studio.
That's perfect.
The cover is his foot pic that he took off of Instagram. Probably because he heard us talking about it last time.
Anyone at KQ is listening. That's what I want, personally. But I guess to make it up to me for the crimes against me, honestly, no. I think what we said would be good. Mm-hmm. I don't need any bonus points. I am one of those people that, like, you know, I may have sounded upset, but I am mostly over it. Mm-hmm. So I said my piece, and I feel that going forward, I have faith that they will do better, or at least try to do better. Mm-hmm. They always try.
KQ do better.
Thank you, do better.
And honestly, the fact that this is our list and it is just the most first world of all possible problems says a lot about the quality of the company and about, you know, what they have given us through ADs.
Yeah.
So by and large, pretty positive vibes.
Man, wouldn't it be great if they did just send me a CD?
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back with us next Wednesday and every Wednesday when we drop new episodes. If you enjoyed, please follow or subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontee@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HolochatPodcast, or read more from our blog at ontee.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.